to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 311 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Monday, 3/11/2024. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. If only the 11 would have won the race, right, James?
Sure. Yeah. Maybe. You a big 311 fan, Eric?
No.
That was kind of our generation.
No, I cannot put together the song that they sang right now. They were a one-hit wonder, weren't they?
They were about a one-hit wonder. They got more of a cult following, but they were in, what MLB game was it? I think it was MLB 2003. That was my introduction to 311, so that's about as far as I can go with the with the 311 references today. So yeah. I stretched my limit.
I am looking right now at the list of songs, and I don't recognize any of these from the names of them. So, but I know I'm familiar with the band because that was my music.
So well, there you go. See,
they're kind of punk rock, right? They're Simple Plan, that sort of music.
Yeah, kind of.
So I should have. I'm sure I know their songs, but.
Well, I really threw this podcast off the rails right off the bat today.
You did, and I don't have my iPad hooked up to it tonight. Otherwise, I would pull a song right now and then get us a copyright strike or something. So, probably a good thing I don't have it connected. So we're good there.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, but we don't need that stress in our life. So
no,
that's good.
No, we don't. But we did have some racing action this weekend. Phoenix Raceway in action with a new aero package, new tire, I guess too. Before we get into all that, the win goes to Toyota and Christopher Bell, somebody who we expect to do pretty well this season and off to a good start, I would say. What'd you think of the race, James?
You know, there was a lot of online chatter going on.
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is like, we don't have a lot of stuff to discuss tonight. We're recording on Monday, a day earlier than normal, so there's not a whole lot of news. But I don't know about you. I don't want to spend a ton of time on whether the race was good or not because I'm so freaking sick of the discussion. But well, yeah, I don't know why it's getting blasted so bad. It's Phoenix.
It was a fine race.
Yeah. What do you expect out of Phoenix?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Jeff and Jordan talked about this quite a bit. Yep. And why does Phoenix have two dates?
Because they sell out.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, the short track package isn't great, and we'll talk about that probably a little bit in a minute here, but, you know, it's a fine race. It's a normal, like, this is a mid-tier normal NASCAR race, and, you know, we started the season off wild and crazy, and we had a great finish in Vegas, and this week, listen, man, sometimes somebody's gonna come in and kick everybody's butt. And Christopher Bell was the fastest car. The Toyotas were unbelievable. The Toyotas were just on a rail all day.
Right.
You're going to get these from time to time, and that's fine. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about Phoenix's place on the schedule, I think, in a little bit here. But it was good, man. Christopher Bell was the best, and he had to, you know, for all the people who say you can't pass, well, if you've got a fast race car and you have bad pit road luck, you know, you can pass.
Right.
You know, he made his way through the field a couple of times. It's just, I think what we saw on Sunday was something we kind of glossed over a little bit last week, but we mentioned it. Like the Toyotas had a little bit of confidence going into this week, and boy, did they have a reason to be confident because that was a show.
Yeah. Since you mentioned Christopher Bell and being able to pass, James, I pulled up. So NASCAR provides all kinds of statistics through the loop data on the tracks. And I don't normally look at it. I don't ever pay much attention to it. But I wanted to pull it for this race just to see. So Christopher Bell, your winner, according to NASCAR, you can debate quality pass all day long. But Christopher Bell made 84 quality passes in the race on Sunday. Lowest position in the race, 22nd. Obviously, highest position first. Started 13th. Mid-race, he was third. Finished in first. 54 laps, he was the fastest car on the track.
Yep.
Spent 88.8% of the race in the top 15. led 50 laps on the day, 16% of the laps led by Christopher Bell. You know, again, he had that pit stop late, was mired back in traffic. Some guys weren't able to come through. Some guys were. Bell was able to do that. Bell was able to come back and get the win. I guess the only thing I want to say about the good race, bad race discussion is people need to decide what they want. So you either want everybody to go the same speed, in which case you have single file racing on a track like this, because if you've ever gone to the go-kart track and raced with your buddies with equally prepared go-karts that are the same speed, you know that you can't pass anybody. You just follow everybody around the track. Everything you do, you're wide open. You're trying everything you can, but it's not possible to gain any ground on them unless one of you screws up. So you either want that or you want the fastest guy to be able to win the race. And you can't argue that the fastest guy didn't win the race this weekend. So either they can pass and the fast guy is going to win the race, or they can't pass and then there's no passing. So what do you want? I mean, I don't, you can't, I'm, yeah. If we really want to do it, then okay, let's take every single track in the Cup Series. Let's tear them all up. Let's put 30 degrees of banking in every single one of them and just run super speedways every weekend. Cause that's really right. What people are bitching about. But then we're going to complain because we're wrecking too many cars and that super speedway racing shouldn't be the full season. So I give up on trying to figure it out. Was it a spectacular race? Was it a barn burner? Is it a historical race in NASCAR that we're going to remember for years to come? No. But most races aren't. And that's fine because that's what makes the races like Atlanta special.
Every track is unique.
Yeah.
Phoenix has unique qualities to it.
Phoenix has its place on the schedule. I don't want to lose Phoenix because it is a unique racetrack. And again, the races aren't the best. You know, a lot of people referenced again this weekend, J.B. McMurray's comment that there hasn't been a good race at Phoenix since 1989. He's not wrong. But I mean, Pocono isn't always the greatest race, but it's a unique track and there's a reason to have it. So either we make a bunch of cookie cutter tracks that look the same and race the same and have the same race every week, or we have unique racetracks on a schedule that race differently and give us a different type of show. I'm perfectly fine with what Phoenix did. I slept through part of it. I'll admit it. Part of that was the time change. Part of it was the hockey tournament I was around this weekend. But, you know, it was adequate. Listen, it was an acceptable race.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. It's a mid, you know, like a mid pack NASCAR race on the schedule. But listen, man, it's unique in, you got to enjoy what the track will give you.
Right.
And restarts here are absolutely unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
And we get a handful of them.
I thought that dog leg was the dumbest thing ever when the first time I saw it, but it's the best thing about this racetrack.
Yeah, it's unique. And then the way that the corners are banked when you go into one and two, formerly, I guess, three and four.
I still can't get that.
Well,
I still struggle with it.
It's a five-turn racetrack.
Every time they call that turn one, I'm like, it's not turn one.
No, that's turn three. I know. We grew up with that being turn three. Anyway, but the way the
track is paved. At the least it's turn two, because the dog leg should be turn one.
But yeah, I know. It's a five-turn racetrack, and nobody can convince me otherwise. No. But you have that wild dog leg, and then you have the way the cars can still fan out and use the apron of the track in the first two corners there. I mean, it is really cool. It's an awesome option. I don't love it as the championship race. I'll admit that, but for the most part, yeah, man, I just want to see racing on Sunday, and sometimes you're just not going to have the best show, and that's totally fine. I mean,
I'll even say, Bell, James, I don't mind it as a championship race. I just don't want it as a championship race every year.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only so many places you can go, but
I know. I've seen enough.
I like you. Well, yeah, definitely. It's had its share.
It's had its fun
at this point now.
Yeah, yeah. And I know NASCAR's trying like hell to, you know, fix this place, fix the package, and somebody, I think Bob said this, you know, not to judge the package too soon, and right. I disagree. The reason NASCAR changed the short track package was, you know, for this is the main reason, this track right here, this in Martinsville, but because the championship is here, they want to have the best possible show. And I think our championship race this fall will have some drama to it just based on what I saw on Sunday. And I think that'll ramp up, you know, what we see a little bit. It's not perfect, but You know, it's something and it's a thing. So
you know what the biggest problem with Phoenix is, James?
Yeah, what is that?
There's only four races in between the two Phoenix races.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that it's really? The end of the season or the beginning of the season, but there's counting the Clash, there are four races between.
Well, and if you're going to have two dates, I don't know where you're going to put any of them.
No.
You know? It has to be that way.
Exactly. There's nothing else to do because it's a warm weather track.
Yeah, you either race it. You can't race it in the summertime. I mean, where you got to go to Michigan and Pocono and Watkins Glen. I mean, you got
to
go.
Not only that, but the fans are going to hate you to sit in the stands in Phoenix in August.
Exactly.
You want to not fill that place. That's a good way to do it.
Well, the fact that that race was sold out, I was thrilled, man. Yeah. And I hope the fans had a good day. I mean, we had some action out there. We had some wrecks. We had,
I saw people bitching on social media about the lack of activation, and there were more people at the start finish line signing the start finish line than there were at the concert stage because they had a crappy concert beforehand. And I don't know. Gosh. People are just going to complain.
What's Jeff Gluck's stupid poll at right now? I'm going to look at it.
Last I looked, it was 40%.
Where is he at? Where is that poll at?
That poll's garbage.
Oh,
I love Jeff, but he needs that thing.
I tried to rip it. I tried to rip it this weekend, and that's okay. Yeah, it's 40%, 40 to 59. So, I think Jordan's gonna beat him again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Did you see, so, and also looking at that, the cars scraping the track, diving into the apron, Jeff's quiet track picture is unbelievable, by the way.
I didn't see that. I'll have to go back and look at
that. Yeah, it's the cars are just ripping the track up. It's awesome.
That's cool.
So, pretty cool. Anyway, regardless, good enough. Good enough for me. Man, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This is fine.
You know,
that's what I tweeted on Sunday. This race is fine.
The other thing is it's a short race. It's only 312 miles, 500 kilometers. Yeah. Honestly, I could do without the two heat races and just run the final stage. That's what the first two stages really are anymore, is a heat race. Notice the racing actually started, in the final stage. So, and then we wrecked a bunch of cars at the beginning of it. So,
did we ever?
But I mean, you know, it is what it is. It, like I said, 300 miles, nice quick race. It's fine. It's got its place. Phoenix has been on the schedule for forever. It's not going anywhere, and I don't think we need to lose our minds about it. We don't need three wide at the line photo finish every week.
Some may argue we did lose our minds with this discussion.
Yeah.
It went way longer than I thought it did.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. I said let's not make it long, and then
we always discuss this. We dive in, man. That's what we do. That's why we have a podcast. We have to talk. We have to air it out. It's all good.
I gotta go back through 1,000 Jeff Gluck tweets to find the quiet track there. That's pretty awesome. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like a cheese grater out there. But yeah, anyway, Eric, I was gonna ask you, and I put this in the notes, but I actually wanted to ask you, because we talked about it, the Toyota's looking really good. What do you think? I mean, are they positioned here to finally get it done in Phoenix and win the championship?
Maybe.
It looks like they're going to be a problem.
It's Denny Hamlin's year, James.
And he's the only guy who didn't really do much. I mean, he led laps, but you know what's funny, Eric, because we only had, 6 liters on the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. We had 6 liters on the day. I'm going to read these off to you because I think it's fascinating. The most laps led was a tie. Tyler Reddick and Denny Hamlin, who were the best two cars for the most part until Denny, you know, screwed the pooch. And
I don't know. I'd argue Ty Gibbs was pretty good, too.
Well, Ty was good in the first stage. Yeah, he was good.
Until he got back in traffic, he was good.
But, yeah, so let's keep going. So those two. And then Ty Gibbs was third. Martin Truex Jr. was fourth. And Christopher Bell was fifth. What's the common denominator there, Eric, with all five of those cars?
I don't think you have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure it out.
That's right. The only other guy who led was Todd freaking Gilliland. I don't understand. I know he was on a strategy, but he keeps getting laps led. But yeah, that's the only other guy who led, and they all those Toyotas led 50 or more laps.
I can't remember a stat line
quite like that.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, go for it.
The number of fastest laps in the race. So Christopher Bell had 54. Laps where he was the fastest. Martin Truex had 43. Denny Hamlin had 33. Tyler Reddick had 26. The first driver that's not a Toyota. Ty Gibbs had 18. First driver not a Toyota is William Byron with 13.
Woof.
And there's hard. I mean, there's not very many people. I mean, the only other ones in double digits, Ryan Preece with 11. Zane Smith, believe it or not, with 10. That's it.
Woof.
So.
Well, I mean, the Hendrick contingent was 14th for Larson, and then it was 18, 19, and 20 for Byron, Elliott, and Bowman.
Yeah.
So not a banner day. And I know the Fords were kind of crept in there. Chris Buescher was second, and Brad had a really good day. I was as worried about Brad as I was last week.
Yeah.
Much better. He was actually getting stronger as mm-hmm. the race went on. That sixth car was really good, and Blaney finished really well.
That just goes to show you that throwing out the panic last week on RFK was too early.
A little too soon. Yeah, a little too soon, because those guys, with Buescher and Kez, you know, with those finishes, that's good enough to give you some hope here. If you can navigate your way to the championship race, you've got a puncher's chance. I know they didn't lead any laps, but they really showed some strength out there. So that was really good to see. And then
what about front row too? Because a lot of people were ready to throw them to the curb after Vegas, but Michael McDowell finished eighth. Todd Gilliland led laps. Of course, he finished 17th, but he led laps in this one on strategy, but still. Maybe it's too easy to throw the towel, or too quick to throw the towel on those guys too.
Well, yeah, it's you know, I think a combination of we've got the really strong Toyotas, but the Fords look really good, and Ross was kind of blanketed in there, but there's no other Chevys on the list until you get to 13th. So, right. We're seeing some separators here. We're seeing some classifications, I should say, because you think about last week too, Tyler Reddick was obviously really fast and he was really in the hunt there. He's going to start clicking off wins. I know we're heading to Coda before too long. He's going to be tough there. But yeah, that 45 looks like they're going to be tough. And you know, the other thing that's funny, and I heard this on Jeff and Jordan's podcast, and I didn't even think about it until then, but, last year's championship four, Eric,
mm-hmm.
Blaney is the points leader. Could have won Atlanta if it weren't for what, 2 inches.
Right. If that,
and then the other winners on the season, all championship four drivers, outside of Daniel Suarez, because now you have Bell on that list, Byron and Larson, and then your points leader is Blaney. So those guys are continuing the momentum.
Yeah.
So far, but yeah, I think the Chevys though, leaving Phoenix, are going to be, scrambling a little bit to start thinking ahead here. They got a whole season to, I guess, kind of get it in order, but
yeah. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see what the Toyotas look like outside of Phoenix, you know, but
yeah, Bristol coming up. I mean, we'll see what that's going to be. Are they going to be any good? The only other team I wanted to ask you about, Eric, before we continue on, I didn't put this in the notes and I should have, we were, myself included, probably me the most, I was pretty quick to throw dirt on Stuart Haas Racing.
Yeah, me too.
Not
so much.
Something's going on with that 10 car with Noah Gregson, because
maybe Gregson's actually a good driver.
He's pretty good. Yeah. I think we all knew that he was pretty good. A lot of people don't like Noah Gregson. Understandably why. I know why people don't like Noah Gregson right now. But he's more talented than what happened last year with the performance of that 42 car.
Oh yeah, definitely. He was there was nothing good coming out of that organization last year. That was the worst year to be a rookie driver for that team.
If he doesn't have that that penalty at the beginning of the year, he's in the playoff hunt right now. So keep an eye on the 10 car, and then Chase Briscoe was really good again. Compared to the Toyotas, but Chase Briscoe was in the top 10 all day. So,
Carson Hocevar got another top 15 as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Carson Hocevar, he was in the top 10 a lot as well. So yeah, he's your rookie of the year. I don't know. I don't know if Barry's going to be able to track him down.
I think it's going
to
be Hocevar all the way.
Yeah. Unless Barry wins a race.
Right.
But, yeah.
Carson, I guess a win will do it.
Yep. But Carson's good, man. He's really good.
Yep. On the other end of the spectrum, Joey Logano, terrible.
Holy crap.
Kyle Busch, terrible.
Kyle was really bad too. Yeah.
Austin Cindric with a last place finish. That wasn't his doing, but still last place finish.
Austin Dillon is making a beeline to the front office too.
Yeah. He was he was pretty anxious to get involved in that wreck.
He flew in there. He's been in a wreck.
Wait for
every
me, guys. Wait
week.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a wreck without me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a wreck every week. Yeah. And he's finished the races, but yeah, he's been involved in cautions every single week.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Yeah, man, and Erik Jones, you know, I know we're talking kind of guys who had a rough day. Man, he was good.
Yeah, fourth place in the first stage.
You bummed me out, man. I was hoping Erik was going to have a great day. They had a fast race car in practice, and I was like, holy cow.
That's a good sign, though. That's a really good sign.
Yeah, I mean, if Erik Jones has a rocket, he's going to be tough. And he was around. He was going to get a top 10, I think.
Yeah.
Top 15 at the worst. But, yeah, they got caught up. He was really mad at Chase Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see Erik Jones get riled up too often, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. Before they get to Bristol, yeah. Or maybe they'll just figure it out at Bristol. You can
maybe.
Do that too.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yep. It's a good place to do it.
Yeah.
Payback.
Oh, yeah, we'll enjoy
Bristol.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So, anything else with this one? That is Christopher Bell's seventh victory in 148 Cup Series starts. First victory of the year, of course. First victory and fifth top 10 finish in 9 races at Phoenix Raceway. Carson Hocevar is our highest finishing rookie in 15th. Ryan Blaney is your points leader, 10 points over Kyle Larson right now in the Cup Series.
Erik, do you want me to give you Joey Logano's finishes on the season?
Sure. They're not good.
32nd, 28th, 9th, and 34th.
Yeah.
He is 30th. In the NASCAR Cup Series standings, he has 2 poles on the season.
Now we do have
to clarify
that Joey Logano got wrecked this weekend by a very overanxious John Hunter Nemechek. However, he only got wrecked because he was getting lapped.
Why? Yeah, and if you're Joey Logano, why?
Yeah, right.
Why are you there? You shouldn't be there. That's not even close to there. No, you should not be near that. Ryan Blaney's not near that.
No.
You know. Brad Keselowski's not near that. You should not be near that crap. If you're gonna, Erik, we've said this a million times. This is one of the great things I've ever heard about NASCAR racing, is if you're gonna be back there with the riffraff, expect to get dumped, because
Joey kind of made it seem in his post race interview that he was wondering if there was something wrong with the car, because he very specifically said that he didn't know why they were bad yet. Like, they need to go back and look at the car. So I'd be curious to see if something comes out of this. They've been bad all season, so.
Yeah, I know what the problem is. You want me to tell you what the problem is?
Sure.
He didn't have his web glove.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Probably knocked off a few miles an hour.
I think that helps in the turns at Phoenix?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The dog leg, for sure. Yeah. Yep. There, fixed it. I fixed it for you, Joe.
There you go. Just give him the glove back.
Yeah, until he starts performing better, he's going to be, from now on, referred to as Joe Logano.
There you go.
Or Joseph, maybe.
NASCAR Xfinity Series was in action as well. The call 811 every dig, every time 200 on Saturday. Chandler Smith wrecks half the field and gets himself a win. What a heartbreaker for Justin Allgaier, though. Absolute heartbreaker. Leading the race. Cuts down a tire with, 7 to go? It was... right at the end.
Yeah, it was within, I think it was 5 to go, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the race was over, man. He was winning and wrecks out.
Yeah, he crashed on 197 and the race ended up going to 205. So,
what a bummer. He was in pretty good spirits afterwards, considering what happened, which I'm impressed with. That, I mean, you got to look at the way they ran, and they ran good. So that's what you take away from a race like that.
Man, gosh, the Xfinity Series, what a weird series this has been this year. Chandler Smith, I've been kind of a fan of his since his ARCA days, where he kind of had a lot of flashes. Like, you see these young guys that are, obviously, they're pretty good.
Right.
And then he's, you know, he kind of bounced around a little bit, and now he's back with Gibbs, and expect him to win some races. But yeah. Man, wadding up the field like that, and then I did not like his post race on that. I just didn't like his comments on that. It was all kind of strange to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think
he's young though. These are young kids. These are young guys that, you know, when they have a little success, I guess.
It sucks when it's with your teammate, but I think it just was a racing thing. That corner's tough. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he certainly didn't intend anything by it. But yeah.
No. Well, yeah, that's not what I meant. He was kind of the way he was joking about it. I was like, I would have taken another path, but
Joel, pull him aside and tell him not to do that.
Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that again. You know, but he's cruising to the championship, favorite spot right now. I mean, hasn't had a race outside the top five, and he's led a whole bunch of laps this year, and now he's got the win. So he's going to be around. We're going to be talking a lot about Chandler Smith this year. This is shaping up to be like one of those eight win type guys, I think, this year. You know, he's going to have that kind of run. By the looks of it, though, he's not going anywhere.
You know who else is pretty good, who we're going to be talking about quite a bit this season?
Jesse Love is pretty good.
He's driving that two car, got himself a second place finish, past Sheldon Creed just to get it.
He's ahead of Sheldon Creed in the points right now. Not by much, but he's ahead of him.
I mean, for a rookie season and somebody who's relatively new, I mean.
Yeah, Sheldon Creed kind of, you know, I was kind of on Sheldon's side when, you know, that they left that RCR deal in kind of a mess, but understandably, but RCR, they got themselves a wheelman there. Jesse Love, Sheldon, it's got to add a little pressure to Sheldon when you're getting outperformed by your old ride.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something to watch for the rest of the year. Cause Jesse Love, he's another one. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be good. He's the real deal too.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if Sheldon Creed, at least you got
Sheldon Creed,
you got that. So
that's funny that they're both on the board though.
It is naturally funny.
On the board. Yeah.
It is funny. You know who else is on the board? Somebody else who had a nice
Yeah, do it, man.
Day.
Do it. I was going to talk about him. Do it.
Van Giesbergen.
He's up and down, but that was a good race for him.
Finally got a complete race, and that was definitely good to see. Yeah. I mean, dude's got some talent. He can run in circles.
He can drive a short track and do some stuff. Yeah, he was good at Atlanta, not so good at Vegas, but they had engine trouble.
I know you're pretty confident he's gonna get a win in the Cup Series this year at one of the road courses, but I still say no, but
yeah, I don't know.
He's gonna get one in the Xfinity Series. You gotta think.
Yeah, he'll probably win some Xfinity Series road course races. He's a threat definitely on the Cup Series road courses, and when they go to Chicago, he's going to be a threat.
I think that's the only place. Yeah,
he can really
Chicago,
win.
And I bet you Coda's probably another track that he probably.
You know
be
what?
Watching.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right. If they have a good car, but those college cars and stuff. I know he's going to be racing with Trackhouse and stuff, but that Trackhouse is pretty good. The college stuff, with what's going on with AJ and them, like AJ, I don't think AJ is going to be threatening anybody.
No, so he's just miserable in the Xfinity Series right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the Cup program's not so hot. So yeah, I don't think anybody else is going to be threatening him on the part time side of things. So he's probably going to be doing just fine.
Yeah. Frankie Muniz ran this one, finished 30th, out early with a vibration.
When he's talking, I know he's excited. He's very excited. But if I was behind the wheel of one of those cars, I would probably talk the exact same way he does.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited to be here. This is great. I can't wait to get out there. I can't believe it. I'm racing with all these really skilled guys, blah, blah, blah.
I can't hold anything against Frankie because Frankie's just going to enjoy it as long as it lasts.
He beat Eric Almirola.
Yeah.
So that's good. John Hunter.
And Haley Deegan. Yeah.
And Sam Mayer. Oh, poor Sam Mayer.
Oh, my gosh, that dude.
He's the Joey Logano of the Xfinity Series right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can't buy a break right now.
No. I mean, seventh in both the stages, so they were running good, finally.
He's, he's crashed out of three races. He's got three 34th place finishes or worse.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. Rough year for him.
He will iron it out.
The difference, I mean, I'm worried about Logano because he's been so long without a win now. Sammy Smith will get a win. He'll be okay.
Yeah. Sam Mayer.
Sammy Smith will get a win too, probably.
Sammy Smith will probably get a win too. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, poor Sam Mayer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else with Xfinity?
No. Kind of what I was kind of expecting. Eventually we're gonna see a nice win out of Chandler Smith, and we got it. So
yeah.
Let's see if we can keep it going.
Now they get a weekend off when we go to Bristol. Let's talk some new stuff. James, again, not a whole lot because it's Monday, but RFK has dropped their appeal of the penalties for Christopher Buescher's team, Chris Buescher's team, damn it, Junior, from Las Vegas. So they will lose their two over the wall men, for the next two races. I'm assuming a lot of that had to do with just positioning for this weekend, that it was too late to try and fill their spots for.
Yeah. And you're already on the West Coast. So. Yeah. Just appeal it for a week, get them back, and then now they're coming back home to the East Coast. So
yeah. We missed it last week because I was trying not to die during the podcast.
it was a real effort.
Yeah. So, but Honda potentially coming to NASCAR, James. What do we think about this? I mean, I think both you and I are kind of on the same standpoint that more manufacturers is good, right?
Yeah, we need another one somewhere. Would love to see Dodge be back involved as well. But yeah, yeah. Honda, there's too much smoke for there not to be fire.
Yeah, at this point.
And
did you see the Honda prototype this weekend?
Yes.
It was one of the Xfinity cars. They had some duct tape on the front end and they drew a Honda logo on it.
I did not see that.
It was pretty good. It was drawn on with black Sharpie. It was terrible, but it was great.
That's great. Well, it sounds like with the and you have it in the notes here, but it sounds like with the hybrid component, that's what they're going to be looking for. But I'd like to see Honda get involved in the lower series, kind of like Toyota did, not try to just come up into cup. But there was part of me before this week happened. I'm actually glad we're talking about this now.
Yeah.
Because last week I would have come on here and said, oh yeah, Andretti, they're going to, team up with Andretti and they're going to find a.
Yeah, I didn't put Andretti in the notes. I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, Andretti said basically, NASCAR is not really on our radar right now unless we partner with somebody. So I don't know.
Aren't they too busy suing Formula One right now? Aren't they
still suing
them?
Formula One? And there's the Spire thing. Yeah. I don't know what Spire looking to have a partner like Andretti come in, and Spire would be a perfect place for Honda to go. I think actually that would be a really nice spot for a new manufacturer.
That is true. That'd be really good. That'd be good for all the way around.
Yeah, they got money to burn, and they're a team that could really use tier one type support, and that would be a really nice way to get it.
That's a really good point. And I mean, if Petty still owned his team, you can guarantee that they'd go to Honda too, because they pretty much switch manufacturers every couple of years.
Yeah, they do.
Whatever one's available, they'll jump over there.
Yep. Oh yeah.
You want to
yeah.
talk to somebody who's not loyal to a manufacturer, Richard Petty.
Sheesh. Yeah. And I don't know what's going on with Stuart Haas. but seems like they're probably going to be stuck with Ford for a little while yet. So
maybe.
Yeah. Cause if Honda, I mean, obviously it's too late. Honda's not coming next year. Right. So we'll see.
NASCAR news broke this week that they are exploring holding a race at Dodger Stadium. This topic is made for you, James, cause I know you are excited about this, because if there is one thing that you like about NASCAR, it is building a temporary course, be it in a stadium or outside a stadium in a parking lot or on a street. You're a huge fan of it. So I want to hear your opinion. What do you think of NASCAR racing at Dodger Stadium in 2025?
I don't like that idea. I mean, what are we going to do? I messaged you about this and I said, just call it Supercross.
Right.
Put in some jumps and some whoop-de-doos and call it good.
If it's not working at the Coliseum, I mean, is it going to be better at Dodger Stadium? I mean,
well, it sounds like this isn't going to happen.
Oh, you think so?
Just the way Jordan was talking about it on the teardown sounds like sounds like it was looked at. From what he said with Steve Phelps.
From what it sounded like to me, from what Jordan said, is that it was looked at to race on a temporary circuit outside with Formula E, and that's not happening. But I still gather that the Dodger Stadium thing is in discussion.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if Dodger Stadium is the right facility for something like that.
You don't think so? You don't think Dodger Stadium, home of baseball, is the place to run a NASCAR race?
I mean, really, you don't think that
small of a track, that's smaller than the footprint of the Coliseum, you think that's going to be not good?
I'm trying to tread lightly here because I don't know enough about it to talk super intelligently about it. What I do understand is commuting to Dodger Stadium is not the most fan friendly experience, and that's for the baseball team.
Well, I kind of understood that the area around the Coliseum is pretty shady, and I kind of thought the Dodger Stadium area was even more shady.
Dodger Stadium has got a pretty bad reputation, and trying to pack a NASCAR, when the circus comes to town, and you're having a hard time with regular baseball games, and that's what it's made for. If the circus comes to town, I can't imagine that's going to go over very well.
Aren't the Dodgers trying to get a new stadium anyway?
They're trying to buy every player right now. So
maybe the Dodgers get a new stadium. We just take the outfield out and we make the home plate the tri-oval
for a new racetrack. One heck of a way to do it.
And there's a lot of land there. You could certainly make the parking lot into
a big
racetrack.
Parking lot. Yeah, it's a big parking lot there. The only stadium that's done it right as far as creating a track around it, and it's not even that great, it's Miami. I mean, but that facility is made for like really big events. Like it hosts Super Bowls and
I mean, what part of the Miami course is the best part? Is it the fake pier? Inside
the corner is pretty good. You can't get a fake pier. You can't race the Cup Series and have a fake pier inside Dodger Stadium. There's not enough room.
That's true.
So you're gonna have to give something away.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get that they want to be in LA, in the LA market, and we don't have Fontana right now. But I still say you could put a hell of a show on at Irwindale. And NASCAR could bring the money that NASCAR is putting into building a track and tearing it down at Coliseum would certainly go a long ways towards making Irwindale acceptable for a Cup Series race, I would think.
I don't understand why they would. I don't know.
Irwindale's not in LA either, but it's honestly about halfway to Fontana from LA, so it's a shorter distance.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that Jordan made a comment about bringing the Clash back to Daytona. Please don't. Please don't bring the Clash back to Daytona. Let's do something with it, but I don't think that I certainly don't think a street course or a parking lot course at Dodger Stadium is the solution. I don't think racing on the baseball field is the solution. I don't think there's enough stadiums in the U.S. that are big enough. I don't think you can go any smaller than the Coliseum, and the Coliseum's got a bigger floor than most stadiums.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe you could, if they didn't have the agreement at Sam Boyd in Vegas, you could tear that up. But you got a track in Vegas, so I don't know, yeah. James. But it's NASCAR, and if they can do it, they're gonna do it.
I have a better feeling that that NASCAR will be racing maybe the Clash in like Mexico than I do Dodger Stadium.
But the problem with and they mentioned it on Teardown is that racing the Clash or racing overseas is not that's a points race. I don't see them putting all that effort across the border to run a non-points race.
Yeah, I mean, we did it with Japan a few times.
Yeah, but
That was a long time ago, though.
Yeah, and we also went
a really long time ago
to the other side of the world. I mean, that was a little different.
Yeah,
and not everybody went either.
Yeah,
I mean, that was very much an exhibition. It was a small exhibition. It was Junior's first time in a Cup car, you know, that sort of thing. So.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. That was a whole thing.
On the track discussion as well, Jordan Bianchi also predicted, and I very specifically said predicted because he said it is not based on anything other than things he's heard. It's just his prediction, but that next year's championship race will not return to Phoenix and instead will go back to Homestead Miami Speedway.
We can only hope, my man. We can only hope.
Definitely hopeful that this happens. There's only so many warm weather tracks that you have to choose from to run the championship race on, and then limit that also to tracks that NASCAR owns, because yeah. I'm pretty sure they're not going to put the championship race back at an SMI track. You never know, but probably not.
It's a beautiful facility.
I will say, though, that ending the series at Las Vegas would not be a bad move.
No, it's pretty good racing out there.
Vegas could put on a good show for a championship race.
Yeah.
And Atlanta would put on a hell of a show for a championship race. I know you're against that.
Yeah, we can't do that.
But it would be a hell of a show.
Yeah, we just can't.
No, we can't do it. Not yet. Maybe it's Atlanta weathers.
Listen, there's a chance if we raced a speedway track like that, there's a chance all four championship drivers would get wrecked out and we would be in big time trouble.
I'm lap one.
Yeah, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
If you're going to do that, just do the Tony Stewart thing and put a figure eight in.
Yeah, there you go. Go backwards. Half the field goes backwards and yeah. Yep. Don't go until you wreck. What was it? 80% of the field?
Yeah, something like that.
You can't go home until you wreck 80% of the cars.
There you go. Looking back at JC, I don't see any other news. You on the Twitters, James? Anything else breaking while we're talking?
No, nothing's breaking. Nope. I think we are in pretty good shape. I've seen enough of John Cena at the Oscars.
That's on my feed. Way too much of John Cena at the Oscars.
I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah.
Ross Chastain looks like he's got a new paint scheme coming. But Busch Light's going fishing, so there's that. He's got a big old walleye on the side of his car. Other than that, that's about it.
All right. Well, we head out of Phoenix back to the east end of the United States and Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend, but we are not burying it with dirt. We're going to run it on the concrete this weekend. The NASCAR Cup Series Food City 500 is Sunday at 3:30 p.m. The Xfinity Series is off this weekend. The Craftsman Truck Series will run the WeatherGuard Truck Race on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Nice Saturday night Truck Series race at Bristol.
Nice little Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I go first this week, James. Didn't you go first for picks last week?
I switched it. So did you go first?
Okay, so you go first. Yep, all right, go ahead.
I switched it for us.
Who's your pick this week?
Oh, man. Well,
mine's easy, and even if you pick him, I'm taking him anyway, so.
Oh, okay. You know what? Give me Brad this week.
Hey, that's where I was going to. Brad Keselowski. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, that's my pick this weekend.
Yep, let's do it, man. Let's get it. Let's make it happen. Let's manifest it. It's time. There you go. What is it? 111 races winless streak?
Yeah, he's one of the longest right now.
It's time. Now, it's important to remember. I heard Bob say this. There is no short track package at Bristol. We are racing the normal cup package. Now, cup racing at Bristol has been pretty good.
Yeah.
When it's not on dirt. So I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, the only thing we're going to see different is that it's during the day and not at night. So.
Yes. Yep.
But I'm assuming it's going to be cooler too. I think it's still pretty cool this time of year at Bristol.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
So.
Yeah, I'm looking at driveraverages.com just to see who's been good here on the concrete lately. Larson, Byron, Hamlin, Brad, and Chris. I mean, that's
Bubba's been good in the past, but hasn't been so much in this car. Kyle Busch is always good here. Bubba Wallace used to be really good here. Corey LaJoy was good here.
Yep.
I feel like Corey LaJoy was
good. Corey LaJoy is good here. No, yeah. Corey LaJoy is good here. Yeah. Not so good here. Ty Gibbs, Martin Truex Jr., Daniel Suarez.
Truex has got a win here, though, doesn't he?
Not in the last three. I'm looking at the last three. So that I'm trying to get the just with the new car.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, going with just the new car. Yeah, and with the new car, Corey's not as good either. But he does have a top 20. Kyle Busch, not so good here. He's 35th on the list, actually. His driver rating, which is pretty indicative of how good performance, is 73. So, which is compared to Kyle Larson, who's at 122. So if that gives you a high bar, low bar. Yeah, Larson and Byron would be a safe bet this week, it looks like. So, but they're a safe bet everywhere we go. I mean, you can pick them every week.
Yeah.
There's nothing to really say there.
Yeah. I'm looking really quick here.
All time at Bristol. I'm looking at some all time numbers here. No wins, but Chase Elliott, one of the better Some better average finishes. Larson, Jimmy Johnson on that list. Harvick, Hamlin.
Martin Truex Jr. does not have a win here.
Eric Jones. Eric Jones, really good here, too.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
That's a good one.
If they have a fast car again, if that team keeps bringing fast cars to the racetrack, eventually things will happen.
And don't forget, the last time we were here, Denny Hamlin beat your favorite driver, so.
Oh, my God. And then the following week got beat by everybody's favorite driver, so.
Yeah. I guess I need to pull that sound clip and add that to my repertoire as well.
Did you see the clip? Did you see the clips from Action Detrimental today?
I listened to most of Action Detrimental today. Oh my
gosh, dude. He has no idea what he's talking about.
You love Denny Hamlin. What does he not know what he's talking about?
He has no idea what he's talking about.
What?
I am convinced he doesn't know what he's talking about. That fact that we could switch over to new engines this week if we wanted to, I highly doubt that that's possible.
He said it wouldn't be quite like that, but that he did say that it does. They're not saving money on this engine. He said that they spend just as much now as they did before.
So I guess if you adjust that for inflation, they're actually spending less if they're spending the same amount, Denny. So I'll counter you any day of the week.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to start a feud with Action
Detrimental. Do you think it would be a big step for engine builders to add 100 horsepower? I mean, we're not talking going back to 900 horsepower. We're talking about going to 750. We're at 650 right now. Do you think it'd be that big of a stretch to add 100 horsepower back?
I think they could figure it out pretty quickly.
I would think so. Maybe not in a week.
But
within a season.
We've got all these other parts and components on these cars. You can't tell me you could do it that quickly. You can't just go from 650 to 750 just like that and not have other problems. Like, things are going to happen.
That big of a jump. It's 100 horsepower. It's just 100 Dennis horses. You know how easy it is to fit 100 horses into a space?
I'm going to start adding Denny and Action's Detrimental. We're going to start a feud.
See if you can get this is how we make it. See if you can get blocked.
Yeah. He doesn't do that anymore.
No, Denny doesn't block people. Yeah.
I know somebody who got blocked by Denny Hamlin, and they're on block now.
He gives
everybody second chances. Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Huh. Not me. It's not me. I didn't get blocked by Denny.
No, I haven't been blocked by any drivers. Even Brett Griffin, I haven't been blocked by.
Well, you know who I got blocked by, famously.
Yes. Your buddy Paul Tracy.
Yeah.
I haven't even been blocked by Nick Bromberg.
Because you like some of his stuff secretly.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Haven't been blocked by him. Haven't been blocked by Jim Utter.
Yeah.
Haven't been blocked by Chris Knight. Haven't been blocked by who's my other one? Jerry Jordan. All my buddies. None of those guys have blocked me.
If we keep this conversation going, you're gonna be blocked by all these people.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about fantasy then, James. How'd fantasy go this week?
Oh, well, big win for our buddy Todd, Freight Train. He wins by 1 point over Team Justin, and then our points leader, Fast to the Grass, was third. I was tied for sixth with our buddy Baron, and Eric, you were ninth.
Tied for ninth.
You know what's funny? We went 2 weeks without anybody scoring 200 points, and this week, all the way down to 12th, 200 points and above. So people are starting to figure it out.
Just for the record, overall, I was tied for ninth, but technically 10th because apparently with tiebreaker, I'm after Smoking Grill Racing. So
that's fine. Yeah, top 10.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Whoopity-doo.
Top 10s are good.
Brokeback Mountaineers, huh? I didn't see that one before.
We've got some good names on there. Yeah, some of our new followers. Yeah, that's a good one.
There are some good names in here. I definitely was not creative enough with my name.
No. overall point standings, Fast to the Grass still in the lead, Team Justin on his heels, Mickey Elliott is third, I am fourth, Eric is seventh, and everybody's got some time to pick it up though.
Yeah,
pick it up. Todd got the win, still 15th in points though, so that's okay. He's moving on up.
Yeah, he's got a hill to climb.
NASCAR has not fixed its fantasy app yet. It still looks like crap, so I'm using the desktop browser today. So, thank you, NASCAR funny. Fantasy Live.
NASCAR Fantasy
Live's on a short leash with me.
How about checkered flags, James? You got any checkered flags this weekend?
Yes.
Good, because I don't, so you can take mine. I got nothing.
Oh, man. Well, I actually got to meet in person NASCAR Picks That Go Hard.
Nice.
So, yes. So that was really cool. Went shopping at the local running store, and the name sounded familiar. And I was like, wait a second. And then he pulled up my information when I went to buy stuff and goes, I know you. And I said, yeah, you do. I know you. So that was fun.
That's awesome.
He's a big Ross Chastain fan. So we had, had that conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that you really endeared yourself to him after that.
I have a character. A lot of people behind the curtain. The character.
BS.
Oh, no, hold on. No, hold on. Let me finish. The character and the person in real life are fairly similar.
Okay.
But the person in real life can tone it down, where the character that Eric sometimes sees doesn't tone it down. But the person in real life, he can tone it down.
Yeah.
So you got real life Jim in that situation. I toned it down a little bit. So that was good.
Well, speaking of that, I do have a checkered flag, James, because I got to meet in person real life Jim this weekend.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I was going to use that as my shout out actually. So I'm glad you did.
I got to see James in person at the Saginaw Spirit game on Friday night.
And my more famous wife.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Definitely your more famous wife, who gave us all kinds of SEO and whatever advice that we will probably not take because we're idiots.
She puts the pressure on pretty hard sometimes.
We need to hire her for marketing, although we don't have much to pay, so hopefully she works for free.
She might. I mean, she's already famous enough as it is. So. Exactly. But I got to see you doing your thing.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, too, that you were wearing the Kyle Larson hat.
I was.
You had the HendrickCars.com hat on, so there you go.
I did. I had my William Byron shirt on under my sweater, but I didn't. I didn't take the sweater off.
There you go.
So I needed something. So the Saginaw Spirit, or obviously the Spirit, right? Red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
I needed something. I needed something red, white, and blue.
Gotcha.
And, the HendrickCars.com, man, that covered me.
Yeah.
That covered me up pretty good. So
there you go.
I got a few people talking to me about that hat at that event. So nice. That was good. Yeah. Sometimes I feel a little awkward wearing the Kyle Larson hat. I'm like,
it's funny, as big of a NASCAR fan as I've been my whole life, even now that even the period where it was cool to wear NASCAR stuff, I just couldn't do it, because I wore NASCAR shirts in high school when it wasn't cool.
Oh, I used to in college.
I got made fun of so bad that I just don't wear NASCAR stuff. I do lately. I will buy, and I'll occasionally wear, it's usually when I go to the track, I'll wear them, but I have bought some of the specialty shirts. Like I have the Josh Williams shirt. Speaking of somebody who's sucked this year so far, really living up to expectations in that 11 car. I have the Carson Hocevar Dirt to Daytona shirt.
Oh, that's such a good one.
I really wanted to buy the
what the f*** has Kyle Petty got to do with this?
But I didn't buy that shirt. There was another one that I bought too. I can't remember, but I've got a few of them. So those are the ones that I invested in now. The Dirt to Daytona
shirt's legendary. That's legendary.
The Dirt to Daytona one is good. That one, I haven't worn that one yet. That one's got to be.
That's local short track stuff.
Yeah, that one's got to be special. Yeah. That one will probably be a CRI race this year. Hopefully one that Hocevar races at. That would be pretty cool. But we'll see. So
Eric, I gotta tell you, I was watching you do your job.
Yeah. Did I look like I knew what I was doing?
Well, I tell you what, yes, you did. And here's the reason why, when those hockey players were coming towards you at 500 miles an hour, you were like spot on. Get out of the way, get the camera out of that glass hole. And then, man, there was a couple of shots by you that were just legendary. I was like, holy cow, Eric is like in the thick of it down there.
So that was fun. Flinching has gotten to a minimum. It takes a lot to get me to flinch now. If they shoot a puck in or whatever,
you don't flinch. You move like a pro.
You know,
when the hits are coming. So.
I did break a lens hood once getting hit with a stick. That's it so far. So far, otherwise, I haven't been hit. But yeah, you got to be careful when the puck's coming through, because it's a $2,000 camera lens you're sticking through a photo hole. You don't want it to get hit.
Well, and I did take a picture of you doing your job. I haven't sent it to our group with Todd yet, but it's there in case I need it.
There you go.
You took a candid picture of me, and I had a goofy look on my face. So
yeah, I've got better ones than that. I have pictures of you drinking water.
Yeah, so I was like, what?
I had the 600 millimeter lens on, so I was I had it cranked. I was on the other side of the arena from you, pretty much.
Well, the funny part was I was our suite that my company obviously sponsors. I mean, literally, like, I could have thrown something at you and probably hit you if I tried hard enough.
Yeah.
And then I booed you really loudly as I was leaving the game. I think you had headphones in, though.
Yes, I listened to the broadcast, so I don't hear anything around me.
Yeah, I was, like, right behind you, like, on the walkway, and I yelled, Eric, boo, really loud. Like, really loud, and so loud that my wife even, like, gave me the elbow.
That's funny.
Like, that's too loud. And I'm like, I can't hear me anyway.
The funny thing is a lot of people know who I am, so they probably thought you were just being a jerk.
Yeah, it's fine.
But no, sitting down in that suite, where I'm at in the suite, a lot of times people will invade my space over there. I think there was somebody that night that was invading my space. And I got partially I like to hear what's going on with the game, and I like our announcer, so I like to listen to the radio broadcast. But it also blocks out people complaining about me being in their way, because they aren't smart enough to not sit where I'm in their way, even though there's a hole there and it's very obvious that I'm going to be there all night. Yeah. So I wear those to block it out. I don't have to listen to people. Plus, there can be some really annoying people in the suite sometimes.
I mean, most I know
of the time
you
they're
go
very
to,
cool, but
I know you go to 500 hockey games a year, but live hockey, pretty fun.
It's good stuff.
Especially when the teams don't like each other. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you got to see a good one. It was a good game.
Yeah, and the Spirit were kicking everybody's butt. I was like, well, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was better than the next night. You went to the right night, even though we shut them out that the next night.
Well, the next night was the record breaking night.
Yes.
Which was, still.
Yeah, two periods the next night were pretty bad, and then the third period was really good. So,
yeah, that was a good game. There was a lot of scoring going on, so that was good. A lot of chippiness. I'm all for that. And I went to a lacrosse game not that long ago, and that was horrible.
Yeah.
As far as pace of play. Hockey.
That's my future now. My kid's hockey is done for the season, and now it's lacrosse season, and it's my first time. So you think college lacrosse is rough. Wait, I'm going to be doing middle school lacrosse. So
my buddy's wife, or excuse me, fiance is a lacrosse referee for the Big Ten. And we went to she actually got a game over here by us at Central Michigan. I went over there and I was like, oh, cool. It's a great game. And those girls hit hard. They hit each other hard, but it's a lot of dead time, which I did not know about. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I mean, I went away. I learned a lot, and it was a pretty fascinating sport, but I did not know it was as slow as it is.
The U of M men's game was pretty, pretty fast paced. So it might have just been your game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Central Michigan. So maybe that's it.
That's true. I'm sure middle school will be really fast.
Yeah, I'm sure.
How about Black Flags? James, you got any Black Flags this week?
I don't think I have any this week.
All right. You kind of mentioned mine earlier, and you kind of went against it, but I'm going to give it to him anyway. I'm going to give it to Eric Jones for blasting what the hell's his name? number 14. Chase Briscoe. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, Briscoe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for blasting Briscoe. I mean, first of all, he's upset with Briscoe. Briscoe doesn't even know anything why he's upset. Apparently, Jones made it seem like they've had issues all along, and Briscoe's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't think
to the point that to the point that Jones apparently referenced it in the 10 questions with Jeff Gluck this week too. And
oh my God.
It's like, okay, Eric, maybe calm down a little bit, but
hey, you know what? I like it. I like that he's got a little fire to him.
Well, and I heard something from Briscoe too in his interview this week that he's last year he did too much letting people go, and this year he's going to race people harder, and I like that. He needs to do that. I mean, he showed it at Atlanta, and I gave him the black flag for it. But don't give these guys anything. None of these guys are giving people stuff. So
I like how he drove at Atlanta, because he just drove without, you know.
Well, I liked it until he wrecked, and then that kind of defeats the purpose.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but like I was saying earlier, the 10 and the 14, I think the drivers are talented enough to overcome some stuff. They might be.
I mean, we've
pretty good.
We've said before that Briscoe's got talent. We've been waiting for something to happen.
You can see it. Yeah, you can see it.
Yeah, he's got
something. You don't go toe-to-toe with Kyle Busch at Darlington.
Right.
I mean, the greatest Xfinity Series driver of all time, and beat him. And not have something.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I
true.
Mean? Like, he's got something.
That's true.
And same with Gregson. Gregson's had
a
lot of success. People forget that he's had some success, but and he's
it's amazing. He didn't have one bad year like he had, and everybody just forgets that he exists.
Nobody wants to support him, and I hated that his car looked the way it did this week, the Danica throwback, but other than that, really good race.
Yeah. Couldn't miss it, though.
Oh, no kidding, yeah. My favorite was everybody who, like, most people knew that car was coming, like, on Twitter and places, and then all the old heads got on, and they're like, "Whoa, that looks like Danica's car." I'm like, "Yeah, well, yeah, we've seen it coming for a while. Right. That's, you know, a joke's a week old, guys, but okay." Good grief. It did look like Danica's car. It was rough. Can't have a green 10 car.
One last thing before we go. Jamie Little did the Xfinity race. How do you think Jamie did on the Xfinity race broadcast?
She's getting the treatment online.
Yeah.
She's got to tighten up a little bit. That's all I'll say.
I thought she did better than she's been doing in the truck series with the Xfinity race.
When she congratulated Justin Allgaier on the win, I cringed a little bit. I was like,
yeah,
probably. Other than that, I don't give a crap. She's getting her reps.
Yeah. That's, I mean, what she needs. I really like it for Jamie. I like her, but yes, me too. I think, you know, I was a huge fan of Jerry Punch, thought Jerry Punch was one of the best in NASCAR, but he wasn't good in the booth. And some people just aren't good in the booth, and it's hard. It's really hard to do. And I don't want to criticize anybody for it. It's a tough, tough job. And some people just aren't cut out for it.
This is what the Xfinity series is for. I mean,
it has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman, because I am very much cheering her on.
She's good at her job.
Yeah. But I prefer her on pit road. So, and I like Adam Alexander. So,
yeah. Yeah. Adam's good. Most of them are good. They're all good.
I mean, they all do a good job. Even, I mean, I have plenty of criticism for Rick Allen. He does a good job. They all do a good job. It's a tough job. It's hard to do. Even our buddy Vince Welch occasionally did a good job.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to fault truck series announcers, because they really aren't given much to work with in the setup that Fox has. I mean, yes, the first half of the season, at least they're at the track, so that's good. But when Jamie Little got blasted so much they all got blasted so much for what they missed at that race at Knoxville, when we flipped a truck and nobody knew it. But that wasn't their fault. They weren't at the track. It's not their choice not to be there. I guarantee you they'd be there if they could.
Right. So
anyway, right. We beat that horse to death. So on that note, James, how can people reach out to you if they want to reach out to you during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and continue to listen for new episodes each week. If you want to, you can leave an audio message. We might play it on the show. Go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway. NASCAR Cup Series in action back at Bristol Motor Speedway on the concrete this weekend, Sunday, 3:30 p.m., the Food City 500. The Craftsman Truck Series in action Saturday night for the WeatherGuard Truck Race. We'll be back next week to talk about it all, break it all down, and keep it on going. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.